This is the sermon preached in St. Paul's Anglican Church in Athens for Trinity 16, October the 2nd, 2022. The readings are from Habakkuk, chapter 1, and some of chapter 2, the second letter of Timothy, chapter 1, 1 to 14, and St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. From time to time we hear a name mentioned in Scripture and we think to ourselves, I wish we knew more about that person. This is the case today in the letter to Timothy when we hear the names Lois and Eunice. Good to hear some ordinary female names. Fortunately, we are told that the former is Timothy's grandmother and the latter his mother. We are also told that their faith, probably on conversion from Judaism, was first adopted by them and passed on to Timothy. It wouldn't be the first time that a child was nurtured in faith on grandma's knee, Yaya, as grandma is called in Greek. We're told then of Timothy's extraordinary strong faith, no doubt partly bolstered while he was on his travels with none other than St. Paul. And in the letter to Timothy, the writer's encouraging his fellow worker to remain strong in the faith, and as Scripture says to us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Passing on the tradition is referred to frequently in the letters of the New Testament, and it is vital for the faith to remain alive and active in every generation. Each of us is called upon to guard the tradition handed on to us, and to ensure that the story of salvation is kept alive and fresh. What we are doing, gathered together in our church, is keeping the tradition alive about the words of our Lord at the Last Supper. And let's remind ourselves what St. Paul says to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 10. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And of course you know the rest. It is traditioning the tradition that is so vital to sharing the faith with generations to come. It's the vocation of the church to proclaim in word and deed the glorious things of God. Our task is no different to what it was in the time of Lois and Eunice, faith bearers in the very first generation of believers in Jesus Christ. Just as we think about what these two women might be like, we imagine too how different it must have been to keep the faith alive in such a minority community. It's so easy for us to have a sort of amnesia about how simple and fragile the first Christian communities must have been. We take for granted church buildings dotted around the place, ever since the deathbed conversion of St. Constantine, who himself received the deposit of faith from his mother, St. Helena. In the countries of Europe, across the West and into the East, Christianity has been the dominant religious force. And through colonialism and trade, it has been shared the world over. It is not so for Lois and her daughter Eunice. And it's not so for many of our sisters and brothers who live where Christianity is not the dominant faith and where Christians suffer for believing in Jesus. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world at this time. It can be difficult for us to comprehend this. It would not be difficult for those two women to understand it. However, the faith lived with them, and they lived with their faith. The disciples make a request of Jesus. In our gospel reading from St. Luke, we hear them saying, "Increase our faith." Jesus responds with two examples. In the first, he speaks of the small having power over the mighty. If you have faith, real faith, even of the size of a mustard seed, then you can say to the mulberry tree, "Go jump in the sea." Now, I don't propose that any of you tell the mulberry tree in our church garden to jump into the Saronic Gulf. But the point is that if you have faith, then great things can be done. You can make a difference. We're at the end of the season we call now creation tide, and we're all too aware about the massive environmental issues affecting every corner of the globe. It might be too easy for us to say, well, what can I do? Well, if, as the words of Jesus this morning suggest, if we have faith in God the Creator, then even one small action on our part to protect God's creation makes a difference against the might of environmental catastrophe. One person does something different as a response, others follow, and eventually there is such a force that even the global threats will be tackled. Faith, the size of the mustard seed, the mulberry tree, can jump in the sea. The second example Jesus gives leads us to another key characteristic of gospel life. First, there is our care of creation. Secondly, our care for each other, for shared equality and dignity. The slave who has worked all day ploughing is the same slave who then, exhausted from a day's work, is expected to cook your meal. We don't so readily say, you've done enough, I'll cook us both a meal and we'll sit together and eat. But the servant will do as he is told, even if a little grudgingly. Likewise, the disciples must learn that to increase their faith, they must simply do what their master told them, in his teaching, in his words, and largely by his example. When we translate this into the person of Jesus, to follow him, to be faithful to him, then we are to be servant-like, just as he was. It is a real case not just of do as I say, but do as I do. So we are to turn the world upside down in relation to how we deal with people, how we fight for their lives to be transformed and for their voices to be heard. There is often a criticism of the New Testament that it assumes slavery as normal and is never challenged. But we have to read more subtly into the words of Jesus. He is the ambassador for the downtrodden, the outcast, and even the slave in our own modern day. And he says to us, let their voices be heard. Let the voice of creation be heard. Increase our faith. We would always say to this request, spend more time in prayer, read the Bible more frequently, receive Holy Communion more regularly. And of course, these things are still part of the response. These practices will help to deepen faith. But the ancient and ever-fresh faith must include now more than ever a faithful stewardship of creation and a faithful advocacy for disempowered peoples, wherever they may be, remembering always to pray for our Christian sisters and brothers who spend every day in fear because they confess the name of Jesus. Lois and Eunice and Timothy, three generations of belief in one family. The advice to Timothy applies to us all. Guard the deposit I have entrusted to you. But remember, guarding it doesn't mean keeping it safe, shut away securely in order to protect it. Guarding it means making sure that the faith is known, loved, cherished, shared through our guardianship of God's creation and our prayerful and practical care for fellow human beings. Amen.